All right, so let's start with the Hakdama to the Hakdama. Right, they have the Psicha to the Psicha Kolelis. So let's read it. We'll read through some of it, then we'll go back and try to discuss some of the Inyanim. So he starts off, this is really his Hakdama. Omer Hedyot HaKosev, Ra'isi Lichtov Hakdama Kolelis L'Chelek HaZeh, Ratzalom L'Chelek Orachayim, B'dvarim Mo'ilim Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, Uprate advarm echtov kolecha bimkomo haroi. So he's saying, I'm going to give you an introduction to Chelek Orachaim, and I will give a specific introduction to every set of halachas in the proper place. Kimo psich lehilchos tzitzis, ubrachos v'chadome, umeis Hashem esalya ezreini al davar kvod shmo v'yareini mitaraso niflos amein. He asks for Hashem's help in this endeavor. So what he's saying is, this is his psicha to Orachaim, but as you'll see, as we get, I'm not sure how far we'll actually get, but however far we get, you'll see it's not really just a psicha to Orach Chaim, it's a psicha to all of Torah Shebaal Peh. It gets into all kinds of inyanim that are not necessarily Orach Chaim inyanim. So he starts off with his introduction to Torah Shebaal Peh. So he starts with the famous Gemara in Maseches Makos, Daf Ineva Makos, Chav Gimel Amid Beis, Darash Rav Simloi, Sheish Meos Eshlosh Esrei, Midos Nemru Moshe Misinai, V'chule. Right? He says that this we know, is there 613 mitzvahs that were said to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, right? Anybody know the Hemshech HaGemara? It says, how do we know it? So it's a gematria, right? Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Torah is bigematria 611. And so where do the other two come from? Right, so Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us 611. Why? Because Anochi and Lo Yelecha were said by the Rabbanu Shalom himself. That's how Rav Simloi's drasha works. Okay, and he says this is something. It's a maimer muchlot ein bo machlokes ukvar harichu mone hamitzvos bezeh. Right, he says the mone hamitzvos have spoken about this issue at length. So he quotes a balaturim now. He says balaturim parshas Yisro says the following: Taryag v'sheva bnei Noach is keser Torah. Again, he says the taryag mitzvos and the Shev Mitzvot Bnei Noach are considered Keser Torah. That's the Gematria. V'asi Shapir Nemru L'Moshe. And now we understand why it says Taryag Mitzvot were said to Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll go back and explain this in a second. V'ein Tzorich L'mashkas V'Rambam Zal Pirusha Mishnah Chulin. And we don't now need the Rambam's comment in the Pirusha Mishnayis on Chulin Daf Kuf Amid Beis. Right, Ayin Mishlo Melech, Perek Yudoch Smolachim, Alach Hazayin, Dira Maschel Kosev Aram. It's not the Rambam, it's the Rami Mitz. V'hu Pelebeina v'yesh lomar im Shev Mitzvos Bnei Noach, im Shev Mitzvos Derabbanan v'dochak. Okay, we're not going to discuss that Mishlo Melech at all. It's really very off topic. He just apparently doesn't like that Mishlo Melech, so he brings it in. But, all right, we'll get back to all this. Well, let's start from here. So, first of all, he says that it's accepted by everyone that there's Taryag Mitzvos in the Torah. So if you learn Sefer HaMitzvos, you know the Ramban has his Hasagas on the Sefer HaMitzvos, and at length he's Masig on the Shoroshim, on the Rambam's rules. Now what do you have, 14 Shoroshim, as to how you count something as a mitzvah. You don't count something as a mitzvah, because obviously you need something like that, because otherwise you're going to have thousands and thousands of mitzvos. You're not going to end up with 613 mitzvos, no matter how you slice it, because there are so many halachas in the Torah, so you need a rule what counts as a mitzvah, what doesn't count as a mitzvah. So the Rambam came up with 14 rules, right? If you want to understand a little bit, this is not properly representative of the genius of the Rambam, is that if you want to figure out how to count 613 mitzvos, so you need 14 rules. Everything that is in the rule is in, everything that's out of the rule is out, and it works out perfectly to 613 mitzvos, 248 mitzvos aseh, 365 los aseh. I don't know, try that at home. See how it works out for you. Right? And even if you say, nah, there's all kinds of asagas on the shirashim, they don't really work so well, all right, so let's say he's off by 10. You know, which he's not, I mean, lishitaso he's not, obviously, but let's say he's off by 10. Still pretty cool, right, that he was able to do that. But anyway, as we'll see, it's a very delicate discipline. So the Ramban, in his Hasagos on the Sefer HaMitzvos, in the first piece that he has, he's basically trying to figure out, why is it so push it to everybody that there are 613 mitzvos in the Torah? So he's not so convinced that this is like something that we have to accept on blind faith. So I'll read you some of the Lashon of the Ramban. V'terem askel adaber im levavi be'inyin hazeh, Amar Mashem Estapik Li Af Al Pishi Adati Shehakol Machzikim Bo Kedavar Poshet. So he says, I'm just trying to figure out this thing that everybody takes as the obvious thing. V'Mashe Amar B'Sof Pesachas Makas Darf Rav Simloi, etc., etc. Right? And then we said there's 248 Kenegad Evorav Shal Adam and 365 Kenegad Yemos HaChama. And then we say, what's the drasha? Torah Tzivalana Moshe, Torah Begamatria Achi Hava, right? Torah is Tuf Rishit Aleph, not Tuf Rishit Gimel. And we said, Anochi Lo Yilacham Ipiak Vur Shaman. Behine Al Pi Zu HaMemra, Ba Balalachas Gidolos, Umanon Achas La Achas Limtso Cheshbin. Right? Who got the whole ball rolling with the Sefer HaMitzvos? Right? It was the Baal Halachas Gedolos. We don't even know who he is. Right? There is a Rashi at the, I think towards the end of Sukkah, that says Rav Yehudoi Gon Baal Halachas Gedolos. Right? I don't think that that means that Rav Yehudoi Gon was the author of the Sefer Halachas Gedolos, but Maisa Rashi does say it. Anyway, the Bahag decided that there were, he was going to try to find out what the 613 mitzvahs were, so he wrote the first ever 613 mitzvahs book called the Sefer Halachas Gedolos. Right, and that is what led the Rambam to decide that he didn't like the Bahag 613 mitzvahs, and he was going to tell you why, and he was going to tell you what 613 mitzvahs really were. And Rav Sadia Gaon before him had written a tiny little poem, right? He wrote a tiny little poem that somehow incorporated all 613 mitzvahs into his poem. So if you ever look on the shelf, you'll see that it's actually a huge three-volume set called Sefer HaMitzvahs L'Rav Sadia Gaon. Right? So how did a tiny little one-and-a-half-page poem turn into a three-volume set? So, anybody know how that happened? So it's because Rav Yerichum Fishel Perla, one of the Gedolim of Yerushalayim, decided that he wanted to be ma'arich, the poem, and to explain the 613 mitzvahs that Rav Sadia Gaon was driving at, and he just, you know, once he was explaining what the mitzvahs were, he's ma'arich on all the mitzvahs. It's his major work that really happens to be a phenomenal, phenomenal work. It's quoted all the time by other achronim. It's a very important, you know, set of svarim. Anyway, so you have all kinds of Monei HaMitzvahs that got into it. The Sefer Mitzvahs Gedolos, Sefer Mitzvahs Ketanos, you have everybody in between. So he says, okay, the Ramban says, everybody assumed that there were Taryag Mitzvahs in the Torah. So that's what he said. V'acharav nispashet adavar ma'od v'huskam bein kol ha'chacham al-talminim nisparsim ha'hamon shezeh schum kol ha'mitzvahs v'nischabru v'zeh shiros piyutin v'azharos ne'ime zmiros. Right? He says there were a lot of poems and piyutim and everything written. And I'm skipping a little bit. Ukvar Omar Harav Zal Shezed Dover Shalo Yiskal Uso Echad Mikol Mishen Manah Mitzvos Shezed Hu Minyanim. This is something the Rambam points out. The Ramban quotes from the Rambam that this is something that everybody just decided was true. Nobody decided to cheshbon whether or not there really were 613 mitzvahs. They just said, "What are they?" So he says, "Va'ani ba'onyi im kol zeh ola b'libi safik al zu ha'memra." So, Lamaisa, I'm a little bit skeptical. I'm trying to figure out what's the pshat in this statement of Rav Simloi. Im hi divrei hakol o yesh bo machlokis. First of all, is there anyone who argues that there are more or less than 613 mitzvahs in the Torah? B'safik acher im hi halacha l'moshe misinai. Klomar, shenemar l'moshe mipi ha'gvura kach v'kach mitzvahs ani mosa l'cha l'tzavosan b'Yisrael morasha o shi yasmach t'ba'al min ha'gamatria hazos. So he says, is it Halacha Moshe Misinai that there were 613 mitzvahs in the Torah? As part of the 613 mitzvahs that Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, he also told him, by the way, there's also going to be 613 of these? Or maybe no, the pasuk is just an asmachta ba'alma, and how did we come to the conclusion that there were 613 mitzvahs? Shezeh ha'chacham rev simloi, ha'dori, shezeh matzah mitzvahs kain, lefi ha'minyan shemana bohen, v'nasim dem simanim, u'borav ha'mnuna achra, v'samach ha'minyan hazeh, l'gematri hazu. Maybe Rav Simloi counted up all the mitzvos, and they equaled 613. And then when Rav Simloi said, I counted all the mitzvos, and the 613 mitzvos in the Torah, so then Rav Amnuna said, and what's a good gematria that reminds us of that? Torah Tzivalana Moshe, Marash Gilus Yaakov. Maybe that's all it is. Who says that there's definitely 613 mitzvos in the Torah? Lachal Moshe Misina. Maybe Rav Simloi is the one who figured it out, and he told us that the 613 mitzvos in the Torah, but technically some other Tanoim and Amorim could disagree with him. Maybe there are more, maybe there are less. Umashahevi osili de safek mipnesha matzina machlokis bigamara b'poskim rabim imhe mitzvah sarishus. We see all these times in the Gemara, is this a mitzvah, is it not a mitzvah? Mehem mashamra b'mesech sota, so he quotes the very famous Gemara in Sota, right? Daf gimel med aleph, v'kineas ishto Rabbi Kiva Amar Chova. So you have a machlokas, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Kiva, to be makana your wife. Let's say you see your wife is hanging around with some guy, and it's not the most proper thing in the world. So you want it to, should you be makana her or not? So Rabbi Yishmael says, it's a rishus. You could be, you could not be. It's up to you. And Rabbi Kiva says, chova. No, you have to try to do this. It's a mitzvah to try to save your marriage, be makana your wife, and to tell her, you know, it's the wrong thing with, that she's hanging out with this guy so much. So that's one machlokis right there. So according to Rabbi Akiva, there's one mitzvah in the Torah that Rabbi Shmuel doesn't have. Right? And what about, and the Gemara has another one, La'olam Bahem Tavodu. Right? Anybody remember what that's from? La'olam Bahem Tavodu? It's talking about Eved Kanani, right? Eved Kanani, is not supposed to free an Eved Kanani. They call it an Isser Aseh, to free an Eved Kanani. He's supposed to keep them around forever. So Rabbi Akiva Amar Chova, Rabbi Shmuel Amar Rishus. Rabbi Akiva says it's a Chiyuv that they have to serve you forever. And Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it's a rishus. It's just giving you permission that if you want to keep them around forever, you can. And lo yitama, what's lo yitama? Right, it's referring to, what? I think it's talking about the tour of the Shiva Krovim for the Kohen, right? So you can be mitame to the Zion Krovim. Rishus, Rabbi Kiva Omer Chova. So Rabbi Kiva says over there also, to not go to the funeral, that's you're violating a mitzvah saseh. Right? So hine l'das Rabbi Shmuel, yechzerun kan sholosh mitzvahs min ramach. Right? So he says, according to Rabbi Shmuel, I'm missing three mitzvahs from the 248 mitzvahs saseh. So he's got to find other mitzvahs to fill it in. And the Ramban gives many, many more examples. Right? So the Ramban and Tosus, if you look in Tosus on that Gemara, Masech HaSotah, Divrei Maaseh Rabbi Shmuel, he asks the same kasha. He says, I don't understand. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't hold of the statement of Rabbi Simloi that there's Taryag mitzvahs in the Torah. So he just canceled three mitzvahs. So in his Torah, there's only Taryah, right? So there's only 610 mitzvahs in Rabbi Shmuel's Torah, whereas there's 613 mitzvahs in Rabbi Akiva's Torah. How could that be? So Tosfos says what the simple teretz that we all would have assumed. It says, Venire. He says that it must be that all the times that Rabbi Shmuel holds it's not a mitzvah, he holds something else as a mitzvah, and Rabbi Akiva holds that that's not a mitzvah, and he takes that pasuk and he learns something else out from it. So it must be that everybody agrees. Tosa says, Adavar Poshadat Mo, that everybody agrees that there are only 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. And if you hold that something is a mitzvah and somebody else holds that something's not a mitzvah, then you have to pull a trick of finding something else which is a mitzvah, and he'll have to say how that's not a mitzvah. Right? That's the idea. Each one has to show how something else is a mitzvah. But it sounds very clear that Tosa's shita is that there's no leisman de polig on the concept that there's taryag mitzvahs in the Torah. And the Lashon Ramban continues, I'm going to read you the Lashon Ramban much later. Umipnei is pashtas achesh ben hazeh shamba. Uvachol makom ne'mar shu masor biyada mipi Moshe Rabbeinu misinai. Says, because all of these sources that he quotes, and the Ramban, if you've read Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban loves to take you on trips through Shas and Poskim. There weren't so many Poskim besides the Shas until the Ramban, but the Ramban loves to take you on trips through Shas. He'll throw around 10, 20, 30 Gemaras to bring a proof to something. So he says, from all the Maramakomas I just gave you, most of which I just skipped, right? From all the Maramakomas, you have to say that it's such a Dover Poshet to all of the Tanoim and Amoraim that there's Taryag Mitzvahs in the Torah, so you have to say that it's Halacha Moshe Misinai. V'im kol zeh, einam nimna mimachlokasam b'mitzvah ben ha-mitzvahs. And still, they have all kinds of arguments about what is a mitzvah. Shezeh yom ha-rishus, shezeh yom ha-chover. Right? So he says, it's not, the Gemara just doesn't ask that kasha because, like, we're not holding in that inyan. The Gemara doesn't say every single time somebody holds something as a mitzvah and the other holds it just, aye, so what other mitzvah does he use for his taryag mitzvahs? The Gemara never asked that kasha. Why not? So Ramban says, because that's not the sugya. That's not the sugi that the Gemara is holding in at that point. We're way far away. We're trying to delve into a particular topic. So we're not just going to then change the subject and talk about, well, what does he do with the rest of the Taryag Mitzvos? What does he do with the rest of it? It's not worth it for us. We're talking about a particular inyan. We stick with that inyan. But he says, clearly, the Gemara is assuming that anyone who holds that something is not a mitzvah has another mitzvah to replace it. That's the way the Ramban wants to say. Okay, and then he quotes Avo Balalacha Zatzal, the Bahag, Savur Shizu Memra, Zua Memra, V'chol Chayotzi, Boba Mispar Azet, Tafsu B'cheshbonim, Kol Mitzvahs Anosnos, Anogos B'Yisrael Adoros, V'azulam Simin, Kiminyan Evarav, Shela Adam, U'kiminyan Yimos Achama, V'lo Hoysa Kavanaso, Shela Rav Simloi B'memra Hazu, Ela Lidrosh Mashu Mashlam Alea. Right? Rav Simloi wasn't trying to tell you some awesome rule that there's 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. He counted up all the mitzvahs, and this is what he came up with. And then he came and he gave a simon. This is 248, this is 365, and it's Ramach Ivarim, and Shasa Yamim Bimosachama. Nothing fancy. He just came to the conclusion that those were all the mitzvahs. What was his whole point? Not to say. Now, you guys know that, Gemara Makas? His whole point wasn't to say that there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. His whole point was the hemshich of the Gemara, where it says, Ba David Behemed, right, and it keeps going with everybody, how many mitzvahs they kept, how many mitzvahs they kept, how many mitzvahs they kept. Right, obviously you have to understand what he's talking about over there, but Lemaisa, that was the ikar of Rav Simloi's drasha, the hemshich of the whole drasha, not the fact that there's tayag mitzvahs in the Torah. He didn't think he was saying anything so fancy. So the Bahag tries to cheshbon, what were the 613 mitzvahs that Rav Simloi counted, but not that Rav Simloi was saying some earth-shattering news. So he says that. So the Bahag holds it wasn't halacha l'moshe Sinai, it was just stam, that was the information that Rav Simloi came up with based on his minyan hamitzvos that he cheshbon. Okay. That's the machlokis, basically. So you have pretty much everyone else on one side saying that the fact that there's Taryag Mitzvahs is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. You have the Bahag on the other side saying that it's just something Rav Simloi figured out. And that seems to be the way it is. But the Prima Gadim in his Psicha is just saying it's definitely Leisman Depoli that there's Taryag Mitzvahs in the Torah. There's no way to get out of that. Okay, so then the Prima Gadim quoted this Balaturim. So again, I don't know, any of you guys learn Balaturim? So, yeah, a lot of gematrias saying, so one thing you have to, I don't know, I'm not a gematria kind of guy, even though we just spent time on this other gematria, but I'm not really a gematria kind of guy, but it's always important when you read gematrias from the Baal HaTurim that this is the tour, right? This is not like a guy who Dafka specialized in gematrias. Not that if he did specialize in gematrias, it wouldn't be worthwhile. Maybe it would be. I'm saying, like, there's certain gematrias, you just can't ignore them. I'm saying if the Baal HaTurim says a gematria, you have to realize that this guy was the Posek Hador. You know, he didn't just deal in gematrias. He also was the great halacha expert of his time. You know, so if he says a gematria, you got to take it very, very seriously. And Lemaisa says a ton of gematrias. So you see from there also that gematria is a real science. It's something that you have to, you know, it's not just something that's fun for Sheva Brachas. It's also, you know, it's something you have to take very seriously. And then you guys finish the second parak yet? So you'll see the Gemara at the end of the second parak says on the list of all the things that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew and that everybody knew, who knew everything, on the list is gematrias. So you'll argue, on the list is also sichas dekolim, and nobody knows what that is. So, okay, enochinami, but gematrias, we know what it is. So, okay, Lamaisa, this is his gematria. So he says, Aseres adibros maschilin ba'alef, umesaimen ba'kof, v'zeu ach, tov liyisrael, v'yesh bohen, tof reish kof osios, neged taryag mitzvos, v'sheva mitzvos b'nei noach. V'simonim keser Torah. Lo melechashim, lo mid adam Torah l'shma, he keser l'rosho. So what does he do? He combines all of the letters in the Aseres HaDibros, right? And he says, that's Taryag Mitzvos. Taf Reish Chaf is Taryag plus 7. So what do you see from there? That the Taryag Mitzvos plus the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach were said to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. That's his vort. So the Prima Gadim is very into this. He says, okay, Gevaldik. Now we don't even need the Rambam anymore. So what don't we need from the Rambam? So the Rambam, you know that Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos about Gidan Nasha? So it's a very important Rambam. It's a very Yesodistic Rambam about why we keep mitzvos, right? It's coming up soon enough. Well, I'll ask you a kasha. Why do we do bris mila, right? It's a trick question. I'm sure you know the answer based on context. But why do we do bris mila, right? What's the answer? Hashem commanded us or Hashem commanded Avraham? The Torah is for us. So do we do it because Hashem commanded Avraham Avinu and that was also for us? So the Rambam says, no way. The Rambam says, it's not the case. Right? Let's just backtrack for a second and try to understand this Rambam in context. The Rambam is working off of a Mishnah in Maseches Chulin on Daf Kuf Amud Beis, where the Gemara is talking, it's in Perek Gid Anasha, so it's talking about the Gid Anasha, right? So it's talking about the Gid Anasha, whether or not it's Noheg in a non-kosher animal. So it says, Noheg b'tahora, ve'eno Noheg b'tmeya. Rabbi Huda omer af b'tmeya. Om Rabbi Huda, v'halo mibnei Yaakov Neser Gid Anasha, v'adayin v'hema t'meya muteris lahem. So what do you have? So he says, Rabbi Huda says that obviously I'll bring you a perfect raya that even in non-kosher animals the Gid Anasha is aser. How do I know? Because who was told not to eat the Gid Anasha? Right? It says in the Torah in Parshas Vayishlach, Al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael as Gid Anasha. And there b'nei Yisrael is not us, it's the actual b'nei Yisrael. He had just gotten that name. Right? He didn't actually officially get it. He got it later. But he was told by the Malach that he's going to be called Yisrael. So the B'nai Yisrael don't eat the Gid Anasha because Yaakov Avinu was hitting the Gid Anasha. That's what it says in the Torah. Were the B'nai Yisrael eating kosher? Well, that's a different story. But if they were, they didn't have to. Right? They weren't mechuyev to eat kosher. They were allowed to eat all kinds of animals. Whatever B'nai Noach are allowed to eat, that's what they were allowed to eat. So it says in the Torah that the B'nai Yisrael don't eat the Gid Anasha. Obviously, it's also referring to non-kosher animals. You hear? It's a pretty solid raya. So the Gemara answered, the Mishnah answers back, no, amrulo b'sinai nemer el shenichta b'mkomo. No, the real mitzvah was Sinai, was at Har Sinai. It was just written in the Torah by Yaakov Avinu, but it was never really commanded to the B'nai Yaakov. So it seems like the machlokus is, how do you say the B'nai Yisrael? Is it B'nai Yisrael with capital Beis, capital Yud, or lowercase Beis, lowercase Yud? Right? If it's the B'nai Yisrael, like the sons of the man named Yisrael. So, okay. So that's lowercase Beis, lowercase Yud. Right? That the sons of Yaakov weren't allowed to eat the Gid Anasha, and that's why we don't eat the Gid Anasha, and then you would hold that the Gid Anasha is usher, even in Nehema Temeah, even non-kosher animals. Right? But if you hold that B'nai Yisrael is capital Beis, capital Yud, meaning the Jews, so when was that really talking about? That pasuk in the Torah was speaking retrospectively. When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Torah, he was writing retrospectively about the story of Yaakov Avinu, and he's saying, that's why Hashem is commanding us today not to eat from the Gid Anasha. But it's not saying that the B'nai Yaakov didn't eat the Gid Anasha. Of course they ate the Gid Anasha. What did they know? You understand? So that seems to be the machlokus. So the Rambam says that is absolutely not the machlokus. Not at all. It's not. It seems like it's a beferish Mishnah. Either we don't eat the Gid Anasha because Yaakov Avinu was told not to eat the Gid Anasha, or we don't eat the Gid Anasha because we were told at Har Sinai not to eat the Gid Anasha. Absolutely not, says the Rambam. The Rambam says that it's a tremendous yisod. I'll read you the Lashon. It's not the real Lashon of the Rambam, obviously a translation. But the sim libcha leklala gadol azeh muva b'mishnah zu. Pay attention to this very, very important rule that's brought forth in this Mishnah. V'hu amra misinai nesar v'hu sha'ata tzorich l'da'as shekol masha anu nizhar mimenu ha'osim oso ayom ein anu osim oso ela mipitzivui Hashem al yedei Moshe. The only reason we keep any one of the mitzvos in the Torah is because of Maimed Har Sinai. Nothing to do with previous commands. Lo mipnei shehashem tziva bekach l'neviim shekadmu, not because of earlier neviim. Dugma lekach, ein anu ochlim eiver menachai. Lo mipnei shehashem asar al bnei Noach eiver menachai. Jews are not allowed to eat eiver menachai, just like bnei Noach aren't. But it's not because Noach was told you're not allowed to eat eiver menachai, right? Ela mipnei shehashem Moshe asar alenu eiver menachai. V'mashen etzav b'sinai sheyishoer eiver menachai asar. At Har Sinai, we were told, you know, Avraham Menachai is Aser, it's still Aser. Right? That's the idea. V'chein ein anu malim b'glal she'avram malas atzmo v'anshe beso. We don't do bris milah because Avram Avinu did bris milah. That's not why. El b'nei she'Hashem tzivanu ha'idei Moshe lihimol kemo shemal Avram olav ha'shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu was told at Har Sinai, do what Avram did. But that's a new command, nothing to do with what Avram Avinu did. V'chein gira nasha, etc., etc. He goes on a little bit. So what do you see? That the Rambam is telling you that's very important to know that everything we do is only because of Maimon Har Sinai, not because of anything that preceded it. So, getting back to the... So, just to explain the Machlokis Tanaim a little bit, this is the way Rav Schechter explained it, that... So what are the Tanaim arguing about? Did the Bnei Yaakov keep Gid Anasha? Did they not keep Gid Anasha? Lechor, it sounds very much not like the Rambam. It sounds like it's either we do it because they did it, or we do it, or they didn't do it, and we do it because of Har Sinai. So he said, no. He said, the Machlokes, nobody holds that we do it because they did it. Everyone holds we did it because it was at Har Sinai. The only Machlokes is, did they also have a tzivoy not to eat Gid Anasha? Right? Did they have what we call a nevuah horoah shah not to eat from the Gid Anasha? Or was there no horoah shah at the time not to eat from the Gid Anasha? Who cares? My dehava hava? So the answer is no. If they had a horoah shah not to eat from the Gid Anasha, then perhaps you can bring a raya that it's knowing even with behemoth tameh. Right? Because mistama, what Moshe Rabbeinu was told at Har Sinai was whatever the Bnei Yaakov have been doing, keep doing that. Right? So that's probably what Hashem's command was to Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore it serves as a decent raya that that Gid Anasha is noeg even in Behema Temeya. But if there was no Horoah Shah, then we have no raya whatsoever, and the whole Isser was Niskadesh at Har Sinai, and it was not a toll. Hashem didn't tell us continue what had been going on beforehand with Horoah Shah. Right, Hashem never told us to continue that, so therefore, you have no proof that it's noeg with behemoth tamei. Is that clear? Okay. All right, maybe we'll just get off on a slight tangent here. You guys know the Minchas Chinuch kasha about neviim. Anybody ever speak that out to you? Minchas Chinuch has a kasha in Mitzvah Tov Kuf Tezayin, I believe. Yeah. Yeah, it's he quotes it. He gives you all the Maram Makomos on the bottom here. He quotes the it's by the way it's in Parshas it's Parshas Yisro Perakhof Pasik Yudalid. The Baal Turim says there that there are how many letters? Tuf Resh Chaf letters. There's 620 letters in the Aseres HaDibros. And why are there 620 letters in the Aseres HaDibros? That's teaching you that there's Taryag Mitzvos from Moshe Rabbeinu, and then there's seven Mitzvos B'nei Noach. That's the way he learns it.
Oh, okay. And that's the same idea as the Rambam?
So I'll get back to that in a second. Oh, okay. I'm not 100% sure what the Prima Gaudim is getting at when he says, now you don't need the Rambam anymore. I'll tell you what I think he means, and I'm not sure why he thinks that this is some earth-shattering chiddush that you don't need the Rambam's word anymore. Let's say that now, and then I'll save the tangent for a second. Right, so what is the Prima Gaudim really trying to tell us? So he's saying that once you've said that even that the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach were restated at Har Sinai, so avada, we don't keep the Taryag Mitzvahs because of anything that preceded Har Sinai. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu had to restate the Taryag Mitzvahs along with the Shev Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, so there's nothing to talk about. Meaning, certainly we don't keep any of the Taryag Mitzvahs because they were done by Avraham Avinu and Yaakov Avinu. Even the B'nei Noach don't keep the Shev Mitzvahs B'nei Noach because they were told to Noach. They keep them because they were set it by Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. So there's not even room for the Rambam's chiddush because it's so not a chiddush. It's so obvious that everybody knew it. So okay, Lamaisa, the Rambam. I don't think that's. I'm not sure what he's saying. We don't need the Rambam's word anymore. Like the Rambam said what he said, just like the Baal Turim said what he said. I don't understand what the big problem with the Rambam's word is based on this. Second of all, the Rambam himself holds this way. The Rambam holds that the Shev Mitzvahs B'nei Noach are also kept because they were given at Har Sinai. You can bring a raya from the Rambam in a couple of places. You have one raya in Hilchas Malachim where he talks about the dinim of a ger toshav. You have the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim. Where is it? Perek Ches Halacha Yid Aleph, where he talks about ger toshav, and there's also the Rambam talks about ger toshav in Hilchas Isurei Bia, Perek Yidalet Halacha Zayin, and there's an Or Sameach that speaks out exactly this idea, as well as there's a very famous letter in the end of the Chedushim Maran Riz Halevi Al Rambam, the Briskarov in the back published some letters in Divrei Torah that he received and whatever, went back and forth. So I don't know, whoever published the Sefer published those letters in the back. One of the Briskarov's letters is also about the din of Ger Toshav, and they both say that the Rambam Shita is that in order to become a Ger Toshav, you need to be makabel upon yourself the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach in Beis Din. And you have to also be makabel upon yourself the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach because they were commanded at Har Sinai. You can't just be makabel the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach stam. So you see clearly that the Or Sameach and the Briskarov are learning that the Rambam holds the exact same thing as the Baal HaTurim. So, again, at the end of the day, I don't understand what the Prima Gadim is so upset about, but okay, that's what he says. Anyway, the tangent part is just in terms of what we were commanded at Har Sinai when we were told by the Rambam that everything we do is commanded at Har Sinai and not beforehand. What's the big deal? Why is it such a chush of a thing that we need to know that we were commanded at Har Sinai and not any other time? So the way Rav Schechter presents it is that he always asks the same kasha from the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch asks in the mitzvah of listening to a Navi. So we know that if a Navi tells you to do something and you don't listen, what happens? The Rambam in his Akdama L'Pirusha Mishnayis gives a very dramatic example. He says, let's say you have an old man, he's kept Shabbos every day of his life, and the Navi tells him, B'horo HaShoah, that he has to be Mechal Shabbos to go to war or something, this particular Shabbos, and he says, what am I going to do? I kept, I don't know, 85 years worth of Shabbos, so I'm going to all of a sudden be Mechal Shabbos now? And he's not Mechal Shabbos because he's too frum. He's so frum that he's Chayim Misi B'dei Shemayim. So that's the Rambam, the way he spells it out. So Minchas Chinuch has an obvious kasha. He says, I don't understand. Not only was Moshe Rabbeinu a Navi, he was the Adon Kol HaNaviim. He was the best of all Naviim. So how can you tell me that there's a din that if you violate the words of the Navi, you're Chayim Misi B'dei Shemayim? Last time I checked, if you speak Lashon Hara, you're not Chayim Misi B'dei Shemayim. If you eat non-kosher, you're not Chayim Misi B'dei Shemayim. If you do any Isser in the Torah, you're not Chayim Misi B'dei Shemayim. If you're Mevatel HaNaseh, you're not Chayim Misi B'dei Shemayim. So what's going on here? How could it be that there is such a halacha that you're Chayim Misi B'dei Shemayim for violating the words of a Navi? So he leaves it as a bit of a tzorach iyun. So Rav Soloveitchik had a famous teretz to this kasha where he said that there's a difference between the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the nevuah of everybody else. And as we know, the Rambam counts three major differences? The Rambam in the Yud Gimli Karim counts three major differences, I think, between the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the nevuah of other Nevi'im, right? But the Iker difference was that the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was not regular nevuah. It was what we call, it was begeder mesiras haTorah. The nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu had to be exact. That's why Moshe saw things baspaklari me'ira. He was giving over Torah. He wasn't giving over prophecy in the classic sense. And therefore, it's almost as if, you know, lamushal, the difference between a local authority and a global authority. If you have, let's say, the mayor of a small town, so, you know, he enforces the law as it is, right? He enforces the law as it is. However, if the president of the country comes to town and the local authority was going to get you in trouble, you could speak to the president and he could tell you, you know what, for your particular crime, the punishment of the town doesn't really make so much sense. I'll give you a specific punishment, which I think is going to make more sense for you, right? So on one level, even though you would think the higher the authority, the worse the punishment, on another level, the higher the authority, the more specifically the punishment can fit the crime. You understand? Every other Navi, they were giving over prophecy. They were giving over Nevuah. And so the punishment for not listening to Nevuah is Misi B'dei Shemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was giving over Torah. The Torah is so great that it has specific punishments to fit every crime. So just because his Nevuah was on a higher level doesn't mean it has a stricter punishment. His Nevuah was on a higher level and therefore has a more specific punishment to every single Isser. That's how Rav Soloveitchik explained it. And there's Rav Schechter always brings in this famous statement of the Kedushas Levi, that the Kedushas Levi quotes that there's a, it's understood that when the Navi says Ko Amar Hashem, right, the phrase Ko Amar Hashem, so what does Ko mean? Thus says Hashem. But really, the definition of Ko is an inexact statement. Meaning, when the Navi says Ko Amar Hashem, he's telling you, listen, I saw a vision. My vision was a Nevuah, and I have a Chiyuv to translate my vision into writing, and I have to tell you over what I saw. If I don't tell you what I saw, then I'm also in big trouble, because it's a big issur for a Navi to be Kovish's Nevuah. So I'm a Navi, I saw something, and now I'm going to tell you my interpretation of what I saw. So that's what it means, Ko Amar Hashem. Something like this is what Hashem said. So the kasha is, that's because all these Nevi'im saw Bas Baklaria She'ena Me'ira. What about Moshe Rabbeinu? He saw Bas Baklaria Me'ira. So did Moshe Rabbeinu ever use the phrase Ko Amar Hashem? What do you think? He did. We do find times that Moshe Rabbeinu uses the phrase Ko Amar Hashem. So how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu said things to Ko Amar Hashem if he had a clear vision? Why does he have to say Ko Amar? He gave everything over word for word. So Bar Dichra said, not so. He said that when only time Moshe Rabbeinu had an Aspaklaria Me'ira was when he was teaching Torah. When he was giving over Torah, he was taking dictation from the Rabbeinu Shalom of what actually is contained in the Torah, there was no room for any mistakes. There, everything had to be exact. And therefore, he saw everything with complete clarity. But when he was saying over Horoa Shah, right, Kachatzos alayla ani yotze betoch Mitzrayim, right? So what was he telling Paro? He says, there's going to be a Makas Bechoros, right? There it could say, Ko Amar Hashem. Why? Because Makas Bechoros is not a mitzvah. It's just a fact. It's a Horoa Shah. It's a nevuah that was told to Paro because Paro needed to know it that day. Wasn't some mitzvah ladoris that Paro needed to know. And therefore, there are going to be times where Moshe Rabbeinu would say Ko Amar Hashem, because he wasn't given a prophecy, Bas Baklaria Me'ira, he was only given Bas Baklaria She'ena Me'ira. Okay, so getting back to all of that, so why is it that the Rambam has to be so stark in saying that everything we do is learned from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai? Because there's a qualitative difference to the command that Avram Avinu received to do Bris Milah and Moshe Rabbeinu's commandment to do Bris Milah. Avram's Bris Milah command was not given as Torah. It was given as Nevuah. And there was a qualitative difference between everything about it. As opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu's, was given Bas Baklaria HaMe'ira, was given with its own specific punishment, was given everything about it was begeder a cheftza shel Torah, not a cheftza shel Nevuah. So that's why it has to be so that the Baal HaTurim and the Rambam, you know, say clearly that everything was given over or re-given over at Har Sinai, including the Shev Mitzvos Bnei Noach. You hear the idea? Okay. All right, so now, let's continue for a few more minutes. The Prima Gadim gets into his second and final topic in the Psicha. So he basically says, he goes on, he says, V'kulon Torah shebichsavim, right? So he says, everything in the Tariag Mitzvos counts as Torah shebichsav. What does that mean? Begitten perakani zakin, daf samach amid beis, pligi Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Yochanan. It's a big machlokis amoraim, early amoraim. Rabbi Elazar amar rov ha-Torah bichsav u'miyuta alpeh, Rabbi Yochanan amar rov alpeh u'miyuta bichsav. So it's a machlokis. What is the status of the majority of the Torah? Is the majority of the Torah Torah Shebechsav or Torah Shebal Peh? So this is the machlokis that the Amoraim have. So if you look in Rashi, we'll go a little further in the psicholos here. So Ubeber Sheva, he quotes from the Be'er Sheva, one of the early Achronim on Shas, Rabbi Yisachar Dov Eilenberg. I believe he was a Talmud of the Levush. So the Be'er Sheva writes on Daf Ches Amid Beis, right? That's not in the Gemara. That's the Gemara in Horios. He writes the Be'er Sheva on Ches Amid Beis, but I don't think it's the Be'er Sheva in Gittin. I think it's the Be'er Sheva on Maseches Horios, Daf Talad Amid Aleph. Anyway, so he says, he writes, Eich yitachin zeh, dahalo ruba bal peh. Obviously, the majority of the Torah is bal peh. I'm saying we have, in the base medrash here, we have maybe five shelves of Torah Shebichsav and, you know, another 100 shelves of Torah Shebal Peh. So what are we even talking about here? There's a, you know, there's vast majority of Torah is bal peh. So what does that mean? So he says, V'tiritz sherashi yirgish b'zeh. He says, Rashi himself was answering this question. U'pirish machlokis Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yochanan tali im mashenidrish b'yud gimel midos v'romaz b'chsav havi ketorish b'chsav o al peh. So what he means is that if you look in Rashi, in that Gemara in Gittin, I'll read you the exact Lashon of Rashi over there. Rova Torah tluya b'midrash sheksuva l'medrash b'chlalu prat u'gzei reshove v'shar midu shetorin adreshes b'hen. So he says, when Rabbi Elazar said that the Rov HaTorah, right, was b'chsav, what he meant was is that we consider anything which is hinted to or alluded to, and you can now learn a Torah, you can learn a Kal V'chomer, you can learn a Gzeira Shavah, you can learn a Klal U'Prat, etc., etc. That's, all of those drushes are called Torah Shebichsav. And Rabbi Yochanan Shita was, no, all of those drushes are considered Torah Shebal Peh. That was the Machlokas. So the Be'er Sheva continues, and he says, V'halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan regabi Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, who was V'nafkamina le'inyin horu beizdin v'davar shatztukin modim bo im safek nezel basaruva ayin sham. So he says, all right, so it's a good machlokes. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. What do you mean paskin? What are you paskining, this weird hypothetical machlokes as to how you view drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh? I don't know, he's saying, he doesn't get it. So he's saying, no, Be'er Sheva says, there is a nafkamina. What's the nafkamina? So in order to understand the nafkamina, we have to know what Gemara the Be'er Sheva was commenting on in the first place. The Be'er Sheva was commenting on a Gemara in Horius and Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Horius there has a discussion of the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. Right? What's the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur? It's when the Beis Din HaGadol makes a mistake, right? They give a Psak Halacha, and they're wrong. And then they realize that because of them, everybody violated an Avera. So what do you do now? So they have to bring a special carbon called Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. They have to admit that they were wrong. They have to bring this carbon. So what's going on? So he says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Ein Beis Din Chayavin Ad Sheyoru B'Davar She'ein Atztukin Modin Bo. Beis Din is only Chayiv if they paskin a halacha. This is not in the psicholos. Saying the Beis Din is only chayiv if they paskin a halacha that the tztukin wouldn't be moded to, meaning if it's something which is not beferish in the Torah Shebichsav. Avol bedavish at tztukin modim bo pturin, but if it's something that the tztukin would agree, then they are putter. Meaning, let's say they told you pshat and pasuk wrong, and it's beferish not like that in the Torah, and you violated the Torah because of it, so do they have to bring a Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur or not? So he says, if it's beferish in the Torah, ad kedei kach, that the tzdukim wouldn't have made that mistake, so then they don't have to bring a Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. It's considered your fault. Why? My taima, zil kari be ravhu. Go open up a chumash and read a pasuk, for crying out loud. You know? if it's so poshut that the tzdukim could have figured it out on their own by reading the Torah, and that caused you to make a mistake, and you didn't bother to realize that it was against the Beferish of Pasuk. So, you know, so go back to Cheder. So you'll go back to Cheder, and you'll learn a little bit of Chumash, and then you'll see that you shouldn't have listened to the Sanhedrin. Ah, it's a kashan amaisa. How did the Sanhedrin ever make that mistake? Okay, whatever. Lamaisa, this is the halacha that the Sanhedrin doesn't bring a parallel to Avishal Tzibur if they make a mistake in a Beferish of Pasuk, or something which is considered Torah Shebichsav that the tzdukim would be moded to. So on that comes along the Be'er Sheva and says, oh, I found a nafkamina between the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. What's the nafkamina? If you hold like Rabbi Elazar that Rova Torah is Bichsav, so then there's going to be most halachos in the Torah Shebal Peh, you're not going to bring a paralam davar shel tzibur because everyone should have known better. They should have been able to read the pasuk and darshan it using the Yud Gimel Midos, And that's considered that Beis Din didn't make the mistake. You made the mistake. Right? But if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that's Ruben Baal Peh, so then Beis Din will have to bring the Paralel Davashel Tzibor even on things which are beferish in the Torah when you darshan them out. That's the nafkamina, that the big nafkamina that the Be'er Sheva is able to come up with. Yeah. Right. So it's a very iffy point. Like, the Tzdukim don't use the Torah Shabbat Peh the same way we do. So the question is, did we really say it's a Dover Shat Tzdukim Modimbo? Right? Is that phrase to be taken literally? Clearly, the Be'er Sheva is not taking that phrase literally. He just means something which is called Torah Shabbat. Right? But you could argue that point for sure. And you could say that Dover Shat Tzdukim Modimbo means it's so beferish that without any tools of the Torah Shabbat Peh, you would keep it. The Tzdukim had their own Torah Shabbat Peh, just for the record. Everyone says that Tzdukim didn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. They did believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. They just didn't believe in the Torah Shabbat Peh. They just made up their own. They didn't believe that there was any Mesorah of Torah Shabbat Peh that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. Meaning, you can't paskin a Shaila out of a Chumash. It's virtually impossible. Right? I'm just saying, like, it says, Vasulahem Tzitzis, Gedilim Tasavacha. What are those? Saying they figured out that it says Urisim Oso, so you hang your Tzitzis on the wall. But what are Tzitzis? I don't know, woolen strings that are spun, do they have to be tied l'shma, not l'shma? I'm saying, like, you can't do anything with a Torah Shabbat. How are you going to pass in one shayla? I'm saying, like, you can't do anything with a Torah Shabbat. It's a useless sefer of halacha in that sense. If you have the Torah Shabbat Peh, it becomes the ultimately useful sefer. But if you have, so they had their own Torah Shabbat Peh. They made their own Gzeirah Shavas, they made their own things in it. They darshaned also. They used the Torah Shabbat Peh when it was convenient for them, and they didn't use it when it wasn't convenient for them. Basically, what they did was they didn't use the Torah Shabbat Peh when it was against something that was beferish in the pasuk. If it says give 40 lashes, they're not going to go give 39. You know, but like, again, like it says, v'hayu l'totafos b'ineinecha. You're supposed to wear totafos. Shkayach figured out what that is. And what parshios go in there? I'm saying, so they figured out, you wear it here. So they put it in between their eyes. So they used all of the Torah Shabbat Peh, all of the halachas of Moshe Mitzrayim to figure out what are tefillin, what color the tefillin are, what parsha should go in the tefillin. But they weren't modeh to the fact that they shouldn't go here. You know? So it's kind of a joke. But all right, people were into it at the time. I don't know. People were into it after the time. The Karaim got back into it. Everybody liked not lighting fires on Shabbos. I don't know. Anyway, so this is the Be'er Sheva's nafkamina that he's very excited about. Whether you buy into it or not, I can't say, but that's his drasha. All right, I'll just start a hakdama here to the second part. We'll finish it next week, maybe. So then for the rest of this short introduction, the Prima Gadim is going to try to find, I think, four or five more nafkaminas to the machlokis, whether or not rov Torah Shebichsav, rov Torah Shebaal Peh. I'll just start you off on the first one. He says, "V'liha ani nirish yesh kama nafkaminas ladina. Echad le'inyin zmanum." So one is only about the times of preceding the Mishnayos. Torah Shebichsav nitin lichtov v'lo baal peh. Right? So he says, there's an isser to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. So what does that apply to? Are you allowed to write down, right, the Rabbi Elazar, Rak halachal Moshe Mitzrayim she'en lo remez b'kra aser lichtov? Couldn't Rabbi Elazar, you could pretty much write down most of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Anything that's learned out from Psukim, you could write down. He says, just halachal Moshe Mitzrayim that have no allusions whatsoever in the Torah, you can't write those down. Ule Rabbi Yochanan, kol she'en mefurish b'chsav, av she'nilma b'yud gimomidos aser lichtov. So he says, the only thing you can't write down is something the only thing you can write down is that which is beferish in the psukim, but you can't write down anything that's learned using the Yud Gimel Midos. So that's a nice nafkamina that the Prima Gadim has, but it's not nogei halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, we write down tons of Torah Shebaal Peh, right? We say Eis Lasos Lashem, and they wrote down the Torah Shebaal Peh, and finished, we're done with that whole isser, right? That's why the Prima Gadim writes Bizmanim. Right, they say, I don't know what the basis for this is. It could be beferish somewhere. I just never saw it inside. They say the reason the Vilna Gaon, if you ever try to read Bir Agra, it's impossible. Right, in the new editions of the Shulchan Aruch, they taught the Gra a lesson and they were marich all the Bir Agras into. They took out all the Rashi Tevis and they showed him who's boss. So, but Lamaisa and the original Bir Agras, they're impossible to read. It's just a tiny marimakum. He means a whole vart based on this little marimakum, and then he gives a bunch of Rashi Tevis. So why did he do that? So some say the Vilna Gaon held that yes, obviously after the decision of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, it was mutter to write down Torah Sheba'al Peh, but he held that the Isser was only Dechuya, not Hutra. He held that you're really not supposed to write down Torah Sheba'al Peh, even Bizmanenu, right? But you write down what you need to write down to continue the Torah process. But if you have a Chiddush, you need to write it down, write it down. So you want people to learn more Torah, fine. But you don't have to write down more than is necessary. That's already violating, that's just gratuitous violation of the Isser. So he Dafka wrote it in such a Bekitzer format. I don't know if that's true, but that's what they say in the name of the Gro. Anyway, clearly the Prima Gadim doesn't hold of that. He says that this was only a Nafkamina in the times preceding the Mishnais. So, okay. Anyway, so he has a few more Nafkaminas. We'll maybe start on that next week.